Namaste and welcome to the Healing Mirror Podcast. My name is Saraya Saraswati, and here I'm offering discussions, global satsangs, and interviews with spiritual teachers, philanthropists, and awakened and inspirational humans.
I was interested in the comment you made about the seeker will never awaken.
We've all been seekers. But when a seeker arrives, when you are in peaceful presence, when you are awake to awakeness, when awakeness is here, at that moment there is no seeker because there's nowhere else to be. So that's what I meant. Until that point, we feel as if we are a seeker, and there is nothing wrong with seeking. However, seeking, like anything else, can become an addiction too. For instance, I know many, many people who have been seekers for 30 years, for 40 years. And even when we can lead a horse to water, but we can't make it drink. When we drop into peaceful presence, there is no seeker and there is no individual separate self in that moment. Now, if we are talking about oneness, and that is what we are seeking, it can't be me and oneness. It can't be me experiencing oneness. Me and oneness can't be oneness, because oneness means one, doesn't it? It can't be one plus one. It can't be me experiencing oneness, or there's immediate separation. So when we drop into that experience of, we can call it oneness, we can say it's melting into love. Again, it's a melting. There is the ocean and we are all drops, but the ocean is contained within the drop. And when we are experiencing that presence, it was exactly as Ish explained, that he had that lovely experience a few weeks ago where everything melted away and all of a sudden there was only this, just this. And this doesn't have to be an extraordinary this. It's the extraordinary ordinary. It's this, this. And it's almost too simple that our minds are attuned to complications. Our minds are fantastic at solving problems. Yet it is our mind and that problem-solving wonderful aspect of the mind that gets in the way and keeps us seeking, even when we've found exactly, we've had that experience, we've dropped in, we've experienced the flow without resistance to presence in each moment. Yet the mind goes, it can't be this simple. It's got to be more complicated. I must have more work to do.
Yes, thank you. Does that possibly mean for people that like to keep seeking within awakeness that they're perhaps overusing their mind?
Oh yeah. we just love a little mental jigsaw puzzle to work out. It's more once we've experienced awakeness or absolute peaceful presence and we've experienced that, It's more learning diligence and awareness for when we step out of that, for when we, you know, slip back in the do-do. And I had a lovely conversation with Gungaji this week, and some of you will see my podcast. I don't know if any of you have watched the podcast I had with Gungaji, who's a beautiful spiritual teacher in America. And I told her about our satsang here and how we talk about falling in the do-do. And she just laughed and she said, absolutely. She said, what we learn to do is take responsibility when we fall in the do-do. And this is her little quote, which I just love. She loved my do-do and I love this. We learn to change our own diapers. So we learn to acknowledge when we fall back into the illusion, into what is not true, into reactivity, when our old patterns get ignited and we react. We learn to recognize that, and this is the work. And we begin to see through our patterns, because until our last breath, until this body dies, there is a possibility. It doesn't matter how high you've soared. It doesn't matter how awake you've been. There's no history here. There's only a present moment. We're either awake to this moment or we're not awake. We're in the do-do or we're not. You see, we're either in flow with the river of life or we've shifted our identity back with being a separate entity and playing out the patterns that are here. So the work, Kathy, and everyone, the work that is here, the work that is there, the work that is for all of us is continual. It doesn't just end. You know, while we have a physical body and live with a mind and that mental capacity, then we can still fall back into illusion. We can still fall back into old patterns which can lead us to suffering. And the seeker, I feel, is always seeking an end to suffering. That's really what it is. So where there is suffering, there is the seeker. When we are in peaceful presence and we are awake, it is the end of the seeker. There is nothing to be sought anymore because we're there. We're in peace. Yeah.
Yes, very much. You've given me an awareness. Thank you, Soraya, that it's more, I quite am resonating with those two words, diligence and awareness. And sort of like what Sarah was saying last week of being thankful that we do become aware of what we say or what we do, and yeah.
Oh, and yeah, there's no judgment here. Absolutely no judgment, you know. And that's something to see in ourselves as well. If we feel like we've fallen into an old pattern and then we start self-flagellating, that's another pattern. You know, and I know that that's a pattern that I've been guilty of, you know, in the life here. So that's, you know, something, if that pops its head even just a little bit, I really shine the light of awareness on that. And it's the seeing through to see that this is not who I truly am. This is a pattern that's been embedded here, perhaps in this lifetime, perhaps it's a tendril from a past, but it's a pattern here that will be here until it's completely seen through and falls away. And it's that the work is the illumining of these patterns, bringing that, illumining them with light, bringing the light of awareness into those patterns so that the power of those patterns here dissipates and falls away, that it no longer is running the show. And the less there are of these patterns and old reactive or active behaviors, the more spaciousness there is to drop into the ground of being, you see. But when we have very strong active patterns, there's no room for presence. Those patterns are powerful and they will be demanding our awareness and attention. Mm.
And I've become more aware too since our satsangs, so thank you again, of patterns. Really love that word, patterns. And I guess too, I should be still not, as you said, there's no judgment just because I believe I'm a seeker. I mean, that's why I ask questions too. And yeah, so, but I think it's putting it in the right contexts.
Yes, and on that, what's wrong with being a seeker? We're all seekers. I'm just saying, when you experience awakeness, there's no seeker. The seeker immediately vanishes because we're there. You know, we're not looking for water when we have the glass to our lips. You know. And then once we see that the separate individual self, you know, for me that was the final bing. For the experience, this was the experience here. Whereas I'd experienced awakeness many, many times in my life. I'd experienced that overwhelming love and oneness. I'd had all those experiences. They weren't lasting. They were fleeting. They'd come and they'd go. And there was greater and greater and greater peaceful presence. But then I got that the individual separate self, because I was seeking to be enlightened, because that was the yogic story that I'd been taught. Okay, so I was seeking that, or one day I will be enlightened. But when I had the absolute, I thought, well, who is this I that becomes enlightened? Is it this hand? Well, you can look at your hand now, guys. Is it the hand that will be enlightened? Is it the arm? Is it the legs? Is it this flesh that will be enlightened? No. What is the unchanging presence that has been here since birth all through that doesn't feel like it ages? Because I can see this ages, particularly this year. What is it? What is that essence that's unchanging? That's the same here, experienced here as it was when this body was 10 years old, 20 years old, 30 years old, 40 years old, 50 years old. It's the same now. It doesn't feel like it's going to be 60 this year, because that's a concept. Again, it's unchanging. So once I realized that separate sense of identification with all the history, who would we be if we told no stories? Think back to the beginning of satsang where you all did a little update with each other. What if we left all those stories, which is a wise thing to do, at the door, and we come here and we simply meet as emptiness, feeling full together? In that fullness, there's no separate self. In that fullness, the seeker ends, because what the seeker has been seeking is here right now. And it doesn't belong to, you know, someone said something to me once, which was, you know, a beautiful thing to say. Imagine if a stranger knocked on the door there now and walked into this room. I didn't know who they were. They didn't know, you know, we had no history together. What would they see? They'd see an older woman sitting at a computer chatting to other people, seemingly. They wouldn't say, oh, there's a Saraya. Oh, we know what she is. No, I would just be an older woman. But yet, we are so identified with our history, our persona, that we think the world revolves around us. It's quite strange, really, isn't it?
Does suffering actually end, or is it about attitude changes?
Good question. What is suffering? First, we need to look at what is suffering. Suffering occurs only when there's a resistance to what is. Suffering occurs when we have trouble accepting what is happening in presence, what is happening right now. If we were okay and accepting fully of life unfolding in this moment exactly as it is, there would be no suffering. Even if that meant pain in my body or disease in my body, if I could 100% accept that, there would be no suffering, because there would be no resistance to it. Even if there was a pandemic, if I could accept that, there would be no suffering here about that. So suffering only occurs when there's a resistance or a judgment that what is happening is wrong, or it shouldn't be, or it's making me suffer. But it's not making you suffer. What is happening, whatever is happening at any time, anywhere, that's just simply what's happening. How we experience that is, this is happening and it may not be my preference, but I can be with this. May not be my preference, it may not be my highest choice, but it's okay. I can be with this. There's no suffering happening here. Suffering occurs when we cannot accept, or there's resistance, and that resistance usually takes the form of judgment. We make it wrong. And, you know, some things are really tough, really tough. We can all think back in our life of some time where it was really, really difficult to accept things. I know when, you know, my brother died and then my son died, that was, my suffering ended when I could accept it. My grief dissipated when I could accept it. It wasn't my highest choice. It never would be. It wasn't my preference, but I could accept it without it being wrong. It's powerful, isn't it, when we can sit together like this and not go into history, not, you know, we can inquire together. And this is the seeking, Kathy. There's nothing wrong with being a seeker, as long as we don't get attached to being the seeker and never finding. You know, sometimes you meet workshop junkies. They go to every workshop that's running. And they hear, you know, if they hear the truth, they hear it in all different ways, but don't hear it. Because sometimes we just need to hear it from someone who puts something just slightly differently. They might be saying the same thing as others, but we suddenly hear it differently. But there requires an openness that we can be awake to this moment. We do not have to be an eternal seeker. And this is the difference with the non-dual philosophy. There are many, many therapies. You know, I work as a therapist myself, but the form of therapy I use is that can be helpful is breaking down patterns, dissipating patterns, dissipating beliefs that are stuck here and hold us stuck. And this is where inquiry, intelligent inquiry, shining the light of awareness on our actions and reactions, particularly when they are coming from deep-seated patterns that ignite suffering, that ignite resistance to presence.
I was just wondering about that idea about, you know, the it's actually feels, as you've said today, it's actually really simple. And I was smiling about the workshop junkies because I've met many of them. And it always feels like the one they're doing right now is the one, you know, that I must do, and everybody that they know must do because it's got, you know, it's the answer. But, you know, actually, they all point to this this acceptance of suffering, and because there's, you know, none of us really want to suffer. None of us really want to accept suffering. We want to avoid suffering.
It's not an acceptance of suffering. Suffering ends. There is no suffering when we release resistance to presence.
Yeah. So I can see how this, you know, the junkie, the workshop junkie thing is can operate. But actually what you've described today is so, it's really simple.
It's really simple, but it requires 100% commitment and diligence and discernment to shining the light of awareness when we slip into the doo-doo or when we fall into an old pattern. And that will go on while we have a body-mind. You know, wherever there is a body-mind, you see the mind is, and I love this term, a flippity gibbet. It just wants to jump on the next interesting thing. flippity, flippity, flippity gibbet. You know, it's hops here and it hops there. And just as you so eloquently shared, Sarah, oh, maybe if I just go to this next one, I'll really get it. Yes. Go on.
That's it really. It's just that again, you've sort of held up the mirror for me personally, this about Sarah don't need to do any more courses. I don't need to, I mean I'm not really a course junkie anyway, but you know, it's like the latest book, and I get really caught sometimes by people telling me this is amazing, I've read this book, and not that we shouldn't read, but the sense that I'll find a new answer in that.
And this happens time and time again. This satsang is so simple, it's free. And all we're doing here is pointing to the truth. All we're doing here is reminding each other that it's here, it's ever available, it's not rocket science. There's nothing wrong with going and doing a workshop. There's nothing wrong with anything. We have to remember that as well. There's nothing wrong with anything, yet it's the drive or the impetus behind it, which Sarah so beautifully expressed, that maybe this time I'll get it. You might be going to learn a really great skill like pickling vegetables or, you know, making paper flowers. It doesn't matter what it is. Enjoy life. You know, we're really here to explore this wonderful gamut of experience in life. But if we're jumping from workshop to workshop, trying to find peace, that, can you see just that in itself is insanity, isn't it? Because peace is always here. I personally find that this sort of satsang is just, it seems like nothing, but it is so valuable for us to hold each other accountable in a loving, non-judgmental way. To continue to remind each other what is true and what is not true. I hope that you are feeling that it's helpful too in that way. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi everybody. Yeah, it's been a very interesting evening. What Saraya has been saying has been very, very clear, actually, because this whole idea of suffering, I mean, to actually look at suffering is something that we very rarely do, because it's the one thing that we want to avoid more than anything. But the thing is, there's nobody really here to suffer. But there's a saying attributed to the Buddha, which is, you may have heard of this, actions there are and deeds are done, but there is no doer thereof. Okay, no doer. Because yes, there are actions, there are things happening all the time, but they are actually happening by themselves. And the whole problem comes in when we start to lay claim to it being my world, my actions, my goals, my decisions, my vision, my self-improvement, whatever it is, it's my thing. And that creates this whole aura of a separation. I was just sitting on the step this evening with Saraya as the sun was going down. And I remember saying, I've never been happier than I am right now. I could never have said that. I never have said that, you know, 10, 20 years ago. I was just so caught up in this whole world of looking elsewhere, looking in a world that I felt had the answer. And I know now that the highest level of understanding is being, because when you step into being, it's like that wonderful movie of Peter Sellers, Being There. I don't know if anyone's ever seen that. He's a gardener, and everyone thinks he's a very simple guy until he starts talking about flowers and trees and people hear hidden meanings in what he's saying. He's actually saying, it's a leaf, it's a tree. But everyone sees this hugely deep meaning in what he's saying. But this simple world that surrounds us, this enormously beautiful place that we live in, is it. And it's all there is. There's nothing deeper. I love quoting people, so this is another quote from Leonard Cohen. Let's stay on the surface. The surface is fine. We don't need to go any deeper. Beautiful song, one of his on his last album. We really don't need to go any deeper. This is enough here. It's the most wonderful place when you arrive. And we keep going over the same things in this satsang, because it's as you just said, it's the simplest possible thing imaginable, but we can't hear it because the mind is a problem solver. It cannot exist without problems, so it goes quiet if everything's okay. It's very simple. It will go quiet if everything's okay. So when that whole process dies down and everything becomes okay, it means that we can deal with anything that comes up because there's no resistance to it. We are being it rather than trying to get to it. We're already that which we were seeking for. I mean, that's been said so many times, but to actually step into the understanding of it, the being of it, is what we're talking about here. It's not rocket science, as Ray was saying. It isn't rocket science. It's childlike understanding that's required here. It's the lack of cleverness. Krishnamurti always used to say to his audience, you are too clever. Because he was always, everyone's trying to work it out, but it's just this. And this is all there is, you know, and that this, it's this, not that this. It's this. And this is an ongoing thing. It's a flow. And we jump into the river and we flow with this. And then there's no problems. What problems could we have? What could there be when there's no separation? There's just this. It sounds silly. It is silly, but it's... it's nothing special. but it's the most special thing there is, because it's the only thing there is. Okay. Namaste.
Thanks, Terry. So we come to the end of another satsang, and just something to sit with is, if we're going to do some self-inquiry, what is it? What pattern is here? What belief is here that is disallowing me to accept life as it is? Very often it's fear. And when the mind stops, which it does, when we fall into peaceful presence, we fall into no mind. The mind is quiet. And it may feel like a death if you're used to a busy mind. But in that death of the busy mind is born the most wonderful, peaceful presence. And you don't have to be physically still for that. This afternoon, I went up into the forest and I mucked out the chicken pen. You know, I've got this big pitchfork. I picked up all the shit and all the straw, and I'm thinking this is going to be lovely for my veggie garden. And I was in bliss, absolute bliss. Life doesn't have to be complicated. You know, we can be in bliss and peaceful presence no matter what we're doing. To me, that was just as perfect as singing or dancing or lying on the beach or anything else. It was just perfect. Just this, life as it is, when the mind stops and we drop in to peaceful presence. And all of a sudden, whatever is becomes enough. And we're filled up. So that's the end of another satsang. I hope we'll see some of you next week. And lots of love to everybody. Namaste. Join me for upcoming podcasts. And please, if you found this helpful, or you'd like to share a comment, or perhaps your own experience, I'd love for you to leave that message down below this podcast. I enjoy reading your feedback, and I'm sure we can all help each other to hold hands, to remain awake, present, clear, and loving. Namaste.